and the bored. And I don't know about you guys, but I think being bored is one of the worst things in life. It really is. I don't know if you guys have heard the story of Larry Walters. You guys heard the story of Larry Walters? He's a retired guy. And he was just kind of sitting around bored one day. And he decided he was going to do something. So he took his lawn chair. You probably have heard this. It's been around the internet. It's actually a true story. Snopes certified that was true. Larry Walters took his lawn chair and he anchored it to the ground. Then he took 45 helium weather balloons and attached them to his lawn chair. And he sat in his lawn chair and he had a BB gun. And he cut the moorings, and his plan was he was going to go up to about 1,000 feet, just kind of hang out there on his lawn chair, and the winds, he predicted, would take him about 600 miles to the Mojave Desert, where a friend would pick him up. He just wanted to do this, okay? Well, he underestimated his weight and the rise of the balloon, so when he cut the moorings, it didn't go to 1,000 feet, it went up to 11,000 feet. Okay, and it was cold, and he was freezing, and another thing that didn't work was his BB gun was not strong enough to pop the balloons. Okay, so he shot at the balloons, and they just bounced off because they were the big, tough weather balloons. Well, not only did this kind of pose a little bit of a problem, but the wind started taking him not towards the Mojave Desert, but towards LAX, the airport. And so on the LAX radar, there was this unidentified flying object. They had no idea what it was. So they actually sent an Army helicopter to go check it out. And as the Army helicopter went up, they saw this guy in a lawn chair with a beer in hand, drinking and going, "Hey, how you doing?" And the guy's radio, and it's like, "Tower, you are not going to believe this. There's a guy with a lawn chair cracking open a cold one, a Bud, you know, waving at us. What do you want us to do?" And they said, "Well, bring him in." So they finally rigged it. They went above the lawn chair and dropped a rope down. And Larry Walters tied the rope to his lawn chair, and they actually towed him back home. And the officials were so astounded. They knew that he'd done something wrong, but there was really no law about this. There's not a law saying no lawn chairs at 11,000 feet. Okay, they arrested him for violation of loss of airspace or something like that. And as he was being led away in handcuffs, the reporters said, "Why did you do this?" And the guy's, Larry Walters' famous comment was, "Well, you can't just sit there." That's what happens when people get bored. You know, I think about the times that I have been bored. I've been presented the greatest opportunity for getting in trouble. I remember my friend and I, next door neighbors, my partner in crime, we were so bored one day that we thought it would be a great idea to paint the garage door with tar. You know, we tarred the garage door. That was, you know, when you're bored, bad ideas seem good, okay? And we did that, and it was a stupid idea, and we got in a lot of trouble for it. And then I started thinking about maybe that's why. And it kind of took a serious turn. I said, maybe that's why we sedate our kids with technology and everything. Maybe that's why we give them iPhones when they're 5 years old and PSPs, because the second they don't have those, they get into trouble. Maybe that's why there are 3 or 4 TVs in every single household, because if the worst thing that can possibly happen to our kids is be bored, because that's when people get in trouble. And that's true. You know, adults are susceptible. You know, why do people search out old flames on Facebook? Is it because they're evil people, or is it simply just kind of bored with the situation? Why do we involve ourselves in business that's none of our business? Why do we involve our lives in things that are none of our business? Why do we obsess over the lives of celebrities? Maybe because we're just kind of bored. And guys, the boredom really presents a lot of danger. I would say without hesitation that the times that I have been farthest away from God is when I've been bored. And Mike Iaconelli, we've heard a lot from him, but I want to read this to you because I think he nails it. I think boredom is something very, very different than what we think of it. Check this out. Follow along behind me. The Bible names our problem sin. Don't let the word fool you. Sin is more than turning our backs on God. It's turning our backs on life. Immorality is much more than adultery and dishonesty. It's living drab, colorless, dreary, stale, unimaginative lives. The greatest enemy of Christianity may be people who say they believe in Jesus, but who are no longer astonished and amazed. Jesus Christ came to rescue us from listlessness as well as lostness. He came to save us from flat souls as well as corrupted souls. He came to save us from dullness. Our culture is awash in immorality and drowning in dullness. We've forgotten how to dance, forgotten how to sing, how to laugh. We've allowed technology to beat our imaginations into submission and become tourists rather than travelers. I love that. Tourists rather than travelers. Tourist is someone who shows up to observe. A traveler is someone who experiences. Television dominates our time, alters our values, numbs us to life in all of its wildness. We've been stunted by mediocrity. What if, guys, what if we have not looked at the gospel wrong, but what if we've looked at it in an incomplete way? What if sin's perfect work within us is not only to make sure that we're separated from God, but that we're separated from life? What if sin's greatest work within you, what if Satan's greatest victory within you is not necessarily to make you evil, but to make you boring, listless, drab, dull, lifeless, unimaginative, incapable of joy? What if that is really sin's most perfect work within you? Maybe we've been looking at this thing all wrong. You guys, I really believe this. I really believe that the end result of sin is not necessarily evil. It can be. But the end result of sin is boredom. Boring. Dull, listless. And if you look at the world around us, how many people do you know that are absolutely thrilled with life? People that are really living fully alive. How many people do you really know? Maybe our children. That doesn't last very long, does it? You know, guys, and so I began looking at this, and I believe the opposite of boredom. If we're seriously going to conquer this sin, what sin is doing within us, this process of deadening us and making us boring and bored people, you know, if we're going to counteract that, we got to figure out what the opposite of boredom is. Guys, the opposite of boredom is not excitement. Do you know that? Opposite of boredom is not excitement. The opposite of boredom is amazement. Amazement. The most boring people I know are the people that are no longer amazed by anything. And the most alive people I know are the people that are amazed at everything. And every time I start looking for a virtue within me or within people, I try to find it in God. See, God embodies everything that we want to be. And so I was wondering, is God capable of being amazed? Is it possible to amaze God? And the answer is a resounding yes. So what do you think would amaze God? Is it stars? Stars? Do stars amaze God? Not really. The Bible doesn't say anything about him being amazed by stars. How about planets? The beauty of the planets. Does the beauty of planets that amazes me, does that amaze God? No, not really doesn't. How about the whole universe, the way that it's set up and finely tuned for life? Does that amaze God? No, not really. The Bible doesn't say anything about that. About wonders of creation like Niagara Falls. Does that amaze God? Well, no, not really. You know, if UK won a football game, would that amaze God? I mean, I don't know. The Bible doesn't say anything about that. The Bible does say that two things amaze God. The first thing is faith. Faith amazes God. Check this out. Jesus was going to a town called Capernaum, and there's this Roman soldier that came to him. Now, if you've ever been in the military, which I haven't, but I've studied it, there's authority, okay? There's the head guy, and there's the subordinates, and you pretty much do what they say, okay? Well, this Roman centurion comes to him, and he says, Jesus, my servant, this valuable servant of mine, lays paralyzed, and he's suffering terribly. Will you come and heal him? And Jesus says, okay, I'll go and heal him. I'll come to your house and heal him. And the Roman centurion, I don't know why he says this, but this guy has guts. He goes, stop, Jesus. No. I don't want to do it that way. And I'm sure that Jesus' eyes get wide and his jaw is starting to drop at the audacity of this guy. And he says this, Lord, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I am myself a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. I tell this one, come, he comes. I tell this one, do this, and he does it. And Jesus, I'm an imperfect authority, and I've got imperfect people underneath me, and they do what I tell them to do because I've got the authority. And Jesus, you are God. You are it. You have all the authority. So just say the word. You don't even have to come to my house. I don't even have to say, you have the authority. So just say the word and my servant will be healed. And I'm sure at this moment, Jesus's eyes are as wide as a kid on Christmas morning. His jaw is dropped because look what he says. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, I tell you the truth, I've not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. In other words, he looks at the guy and he says, are you for real? You have that much faith? I can't believe this. This is amazing. I'm astounded. You thought it was impossible to amaze God? Well, you just amazed God. I can't believe this. You are the man. This is amazing. My jaw's on the floor about this kind of faith. So you guys ever think about this? That your faith, your acts of faith are capable of making God's jaw drop. And that makes sense because if you think about it, your faith is really the only thing you have to offer God. Is he amazed by life, the fact that your heart's beating or anything? No, because he created all that. That's expected. But when you step out in faith and you do the things that God wants you to do, it amazes God. I never thought of it that way. You know, that's great acts of faith have always amazed God. But not just the great acts, the daily ones too. You know, I think a student that doesn't go with the crowd and pursues a vision that God wants for them, I think that amazes God. I think it causes God's jaw to drop. I think a couple that refuses to take the path of least resistance and tackles the hard stuff of marriage and perseveres through that amazes God. Those little acts of faith. And guys, this was kind of weird for me because I never thought about God being able to be amazed. But guys, if we are going to live lives that are in amazement and beat boredom, then we have to follow a God that is capable of being amazed. And if God is capable of being amazed, we should be able to be amazed too. The second thing that amazes God, I said there are two things that amaze God. Faith was the first one. You guys know what the second one is? It's that polar opposite. Lack of faith. When Jesus was in his hometown, he was preaching this great message. And in Mark chapter 6, 4 through 6, the people come up to him and say, hey, we know who you are. You're Joseph's son. You're not that big a deal. You're not the son of God. We know who you are. And Jesus says this only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house as a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Two things that amaze God, faith and lack of faith. Those are only two things the Bible says amaze God. So I want to ask you a question. The big question is this. What about you amazes God? Faith or lack of faith? What about you amazes God? You know, guys, the cure for boredom is to rediscover a sense of amazement. Isaiah 29, I just want you guys to hear scripture here. I just want you guys to hear this because this is something that is new to me, okay? This is new to me, and I'm passing it on to you guys. I learned something this week, and I really want to pass this on to you. Isaiah 29, verse 9, God says this, be stunned and amazed. Okay, so that's the command, first of all. Be stunned and amazed. That's a command. Does he have to command that to you, or is that something you do naturally? Be stunned and amazed. And check this out. Be drunk, but not from wine. Stagger, but not from beer. So in other words, you're supposed to be so amazed and so stunned that people will think you're drunk. Like on the day of Pentecost, I guess. You're supposed to be so stunned and amazed that people think you're drunk. And he goes on to explain it in verse 13 and 14. This is God talking about the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel has become boring, become bored, complacent, lukewarm people. That's what they are. And I love this. God says this. He tells them the state of their heart. These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up of only rules taught by men. Okay, let's stop right there. Okay? The whole, he looks to the whole nation of Israel and says, these people honor me with their mouths. They call me God, but their hearts are far from me. Okay? They've wandered away from me. And so basically their worship of me is only rules taught by men. That's where it is. And so what does God do about this? Does he say, okay, I'm going to send all these people to hell. I'm going to cut them off. I'm going to send them judgment. I'm going to send locusts to devour their crops. No. Look what God says after this. Therefore, once more, I will astound these people with wonder upon wonder. The wisdom of the wise will perish. The intelligence of the intelligent will vanish. In other words, God says, I want my people's hearts to be with me. And so I'm going to astonish them. I'm going to astound them. I'm going to reawaken their sense of amazement with me. And therefore, their worship will be true. Guys, it all boils down to worship. If you want to have a cure for boredom and live the opposite and be amazed, then we have got to get our worship of God right. We have got to allow God to astound us. And guys, I wrote this blog about 2 years ago. I was making fun of myself, okay? I was making fun of myself. I went back and reread this, and I realized that it was written from the point of view of a guy who was incapable of being amazed. I want you guys to read this. Listen to this as I read it. It's called Dear Kid from Whatever Third World Country. Let me tell you about my bad day. Dear Kid, I saw your picture on TV today, so I figured I'd write to you a little bit about my day. It was terrible, one of the worst days of my life. I got up out of my comfortable queen-size bed, out of my warm flannel sheets, and complained about having to get up early. I started the shower. I let it run to get warm. At least 5 gallons went down the drain. I heard water's scarce where you are, but this is about me, not you. It took forever to get hot. After my shower, I got out and I was freezing cold. The gas heat in my house was only set to 66 degrees because heat's so expensive. We hate paying the bills. I'm sure you understand that. I was in a bad mood because I didn't want to go to work that day to a job that pays me very well. I opened up the fridge. Yes, we have a fridge. It keeps food from spoiling, so we have plenty of it around. And I was so angry that all we had was skim milk. I swore under my breath as I went to the cupboard and found we only had 5 cereals to choose from. I was mad at my wife for not getting my favorite cereal. See how bad my day already is? When I left for work, it was even worse. I got in my 255-horsepower 2002 Nissan Maxima and had to wait a full minute for it to get warm. I can't believe I have a car that's 10 years old. See how rough my life is? How old is your car? Sure, it's a lot newer than mine. I drove to work on paved streets. They're so annoying. There was a pothole that I hit. I bet they don't have potholes in the paved roads where you live. Americans are so lazy and they never fix anything. When I got to work, I walked into a heated building, which was still cold, about 66 degrees. You'd think people would crank up the heat a little bit around here, don't you? You know? What temperature do you keep your house at? That's a lot more comfortable than mine. I worked in this comfortable building until lunchtime, and then my friend and I went out for lunch. I was pretty hacked off that we went to get Chinese food instead of pizza like I wanted to. As a matter of fact, the all-you-can-eat Chinese buffet we went to didn't have a single good thing. I bet the restaurants you go to are much better. My iPhone wasn't getting good reception. In fact, I had 2 dropped calls that day, and my internet was running really slow. It took almost 2 full minutes for all my emails to be downloaded to my phone. Who's got that kind of time? I called my cell phone company and complained. Do you have 3G at your house? My house is in a dead zone, and sometimes I have to walk around to different parts of my house to get reception. My life is so hard. I hope you're hearing this. When I got home from work, I turned on my DirecTV. Can you believe it? 300 channels and nothing to watch. Okay, why the heck do I even pay the cable bill? My wife came in and started yelling at me. Said something about me spending too much time watching TV and not with the kids. I sat there in my leather chair with my feet on the coffee table, my comfortable clothes, my warm house, watching 300 channels, and I listened. See how hard my life is? I bet my friends' wives don't yell at them. Man, what a terrible day I've had. The kids were loud that night. I guess when all of them are healthy, disease-free, well-fed, and loved, they make a lot of noise. It's so annoying. After dinner, there's a huge stack of dishes that needed to be washed. I complain about it being my turn to wash the dishes. Know what I had to do? I had to actually walk over to the sink, take them out of the sink, put them in the dishwasher, and press start. Pain in the rump. Can you believe the inconvenience? Not only that, but the kids didn't eat half of what was on their plates. So I had to carry the plates over the garbage can and throw it all away. Talk about rough. See why I've had such a bad day? Then, when it came time to go get in bed, I brushed my teeth with more running water, with awful-tasting toothpaste. What kind of toothpaste do you use? I'm sure it's better than the kind we have here. I had to crawl back into my warm, comfortable, queen-size bed with flannel sheets and think about how awful tomorrow was going to be. See, tomorrow I'm going Christmas shopping, and I'm going to buy about $1,000 worth of gifts to people who live just like me. The gifts I get them will probably wind up in a yard sale within 2 years, but hey, got to get the folks something. What did you get for Christmas last year? Are the malls in your town as crowded as the ones here? Do the people in your village spend as much as we do? Hope you get better things for Christmas than I do. Last year I didn't get half of what I was expecting. Oh well, thanks for listening to my awful day. Please write me back and let me know if you've had days just like I had. Your new pen pal, Dave. When I reread that, I realized that that was a person that had lost the capability of being amazed. Everything that I listed there should be cause for amazement, and yet it was a cause of hassle. As a matter of fact, the person that wrote this blog right here, I believe, is one of the most boring people on the planet. Why? Because there's no amazement in his life. I was listening to a comedian one time, and he was talking about his latest plane flight. And he said we got on the tarmac and we were about to take off, and the stewardess came over the loudspeakers and said, I'm sorry to inform you guys that the in-flight Wi-Fi is not working today, and you will be unable to use it during the flight. We apologize for this inconvenience. And the comedian said immediately, the guy on his right said, well, that's a bunch of BS. And the comedian said, you got to be kidding me. He said, how old are you? And the guy said, I'm 49 years old. And the comedian said, in-flight Wi-Fi didn't exist last year. And now you are complaining that something that you didn't have for the first 48 years of your life, that you can't have it now. And now you're upset. He said, do you realize what you're doing, man? We are sitting in a chair in the sky. And we're going up, and we're not falling. We're sitting in a chair in the sky, and all you're doing is complaining about not having something that didn't exist last year? Come on, man. Well, guys, two guys on the plane heard the same thing. One of them was, I can't believe they have in-flight Wi-Fi. That's amazing. And the other guy said, well, that's a bunch of BS. And so, which one are you guys going to be? When you hear a baby crying, are you going to be the kind of person that says, well, that's annoying? Or are you going to be the kind of person that says, I can't believe that the baby's brain is signaling its vocal cords, and its vocal cords are making this cry to communicate, and I can hear it, and I know exactly what it means. It's amazing. Are you going to be the kind of person that drives to work tomorrow, bumper-to-bumper traffic, and you can't believe it's a big hassle? Or are you going to be amazed that you're capable of moving a one-ton vehicle by pressing your foot in extreme comfort, listening to your favorite music, and you can move it 20 miles, 24 miles, whatever, for $3.75? When you see a sunrise tomorrow, are you going to complain about it being another morning, or are you going to be amazed that the sun is the perfect distance from the earth to heat it perfectly, that it rises every single morning, that 93 million miles away and the light and the heat are enough to sustain life? When you hear that Jesus left heaven, he died and was resurrected, are you going to look at that and say, well, that's a bunch of BS? Or are you going to be amazed that the God of the universe loves you that much? See, guys, sin's greatest work within us is to make us bored. And God's greatest redemptive work within us may not just be to get us to heaven. God's greatest redemptive work may be to instill within us a sense of amazement, to awaken us to the amazement that is all around us. Remember, God's cure was, I'm going to astound these people with wonder upon wonder. And I wonder if God has been doing that in our lives, astounding us with wonder upon wonder upon wonder, the things that I just named, and we have missed it because of sin. I think the greatest thing that could happen to the people in this room right now will be when we leave here to go out and be amazed at everything that God is astounding us with. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so very much, not for just taking sins away, but for enabling us to live, to infuse us with life. Sin does more, Lord, than just keep us from heaven or send us to hell. It makes us boring, drab, and dull. So that we're just simply a shell of the people you created us to be. Lord, I want to thank you for infusing life into us. Lord, I want to thank you that the gospel is the answer to all of our boredom. We love you, Jesus. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen. Yesterday, we were at the tennis club. My daughter plays tennis, and there was this kid there that was probably about 9 years old. And it didn't strike, there are a lot of 9-year-old kids there, but what struck me really weird is that the kid was, you could tell he was terrified of being bored. He had an iPad and a PSP and an iPhone. One kid, 9 years old. And he was immersed in it. And I thought to myself, the only reason this kid would have three devices like this is that the thought of sitting and not being entertained or not having some kind of stimuli coming in is so terrifying and so awful that the thought of it scares him. And I realized, why is it that people feel so distant from God? It's because maybe sitting in silence, without stimuli, without entertainment, is exactly what God needs to communicate to us. And yet we've set up our lives so that that never happens. All right now, guys, no iPads, no PSPs, no cell phones, nothing. Just you and God. We're going to take some quiet moments. Maybe you need to spend a quiet moment realizing why you're so terrified of quiet moments. Maybe you need to take this quiet moment and say, God, you know, I'm boring. I'm not bored, I'm boring. And I need this life that Dave was just talking about. Reawaken within me a sense of amazement. Show me what I need to be amazed by. Because I really want to live the kind of life you want me to live. Don't let sin do its work in me and make me bored. Make me alive. Whatever it is, I'm just going to be quiet for a few minutes. The band's going to come up and lead us in worship again. Take advantage of this time.